It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Made it to a Thursday. It's hour one. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Glad to have you on board. How about them Texans? Got a poll question for you, at least first hour. Better team in the state of Texas, the Texans or the Cowboys? Anybody with me on that poll question first hour?
Good morning. I'm with you on that.
Thank you, Greeny. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Coming up, we'll talk to Sean Salisbury, a talk show host in Houston, former NFL quarterback, former Syracuse head coach Jim Boeheim, and former big man in the NBA, Scott Hastings. He does the play-by-play analysis for the Denver Nuggets. Have him on talking about the Victor Wembanyama, Nikola Jokic showdown that we had the other night. We'll get to phone calls. They're always welcome, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp at danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. Hottest rookies, biggest superstars, the all-time greats, the only place to collect them all, Panini Trading Cards. The official trading cards of the program, autograph cards, instant classics, memorabilia cards, rare inserts, and more. Start a continue collection now, PaniniAmerica.net. Poll question, play of the day, stat of the day, all of that forthcoming. And we continue with the, I guess, march towards one dining moment and the final fork coming up tomorrow as a championship week continues. Today we have chicken sandwiches and fish sandwiches.
Whoa.
Yes. I think a special kind of chicken sandwich.
Yeah, I think specifically a Nashville hot chicken sandwich.
Nashville hot.
Yeah. Yeah, and not just like a normal cutlet.
All right. And then we're having a fish sandwich as well as we try to narrow it down to the greatest sandwich in America. Hot sandwich, by the way.
Yeah, unfortunately, the Italian beef didn't make the cut somehow. There was a big push for pulled pork.
But that would fall in the barbecue category. Right,
as we've established all week, that we're not doing barbecue sandwiches in this hot sandwich poll.
Next year, we're going to have breakfast category. We're going to have barbecue category. So we're workshopping this, as we like to say in the industry. What happened yesterday, Seton?
People call it winging it. We do it. We usually do that best.
Okay.
Gotta admit. Yesterday the French dip absolutely rolled.
Okay, I see what you did.
The po' boy, 66%.
Okay. So sort of the UConn men's basketball team.
Yeah, right now that is the just undisputed heavyweight champion.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, so that's the showdown today, and then we'll have the final fork for you tomorrow on a Meat Friday. Yes, Heaton?
People may think that a fish sandwich sounds a little boring.
Fishy.
But it is
Okay.
Just a titan of sandwiches.
Okay.
A fish sandwich.
All right. All right. I was a little surprised that it made the cut, that made the plate. But all right. I'm open-minded. Yes, Paul?
Grouper, mahi-mahi, there's lots of options there. Going back to pulled pork, as much as a barbecue enthusiast as I am, I think it's the right call not to have a pulled pork sandwich in this contest because usually when you go to a place that serves sandwiches and they have pulled pork amongst them, you're like, well, it's kind of a serviceable pulled pork sandwich. If you want a good one, you go to a barbecue restaurant.
Okay.
I think that's the right call.
All right. Well, thank you for that. So the Texans acquired Stephon Diggs and the fallout. I was curious what the odds would be now with the Texans. Texans have better Super Bowl odds than the following. The Eagles, Cowboys, Packers, Jets. C.J. Stroud is now third best MVP odds behind Patrick Mahomes. Josh, if Josh Allen wins the MVP this year, he will earn it. That's for sure. So Mahomes is your favorite. Then it's Josh Allen. Joe Burrow and C.J. Stroud are tied for the third best odds to win the MVP. And the Texans went to plus 1,600 to win the Super Bowl. They were plus 2,500. That was before the trade for Stephon Diggs. And you start to wonder Buffalo's side of this, because we can look at the Texans and say, all right, now you're formidable. Now you, the Ravens, the Bengals, feel like you guys have the best chance to knock off the Kansas City Chiefs. The Bills general manager, Brandon Bean, had this to say to Bills Mafia after the trade.
I mean, are we better today? Probably not. Yeah, it's a work in progress, and we're going to continue to work on that. I would just hope that people know I'm as competitive as hell, and I ain't giving in. And we're gonna work through this, and we're gonna continue to look. And I'm confident in the guys we have on the roster, and I'm confident, the staff we have upstairs that helps me, that we'll continue to find pieces to add, and that we'll be ready to roll when it comes time in September.
I would love to know. I don't know if somebody had the opportunity to ask the general manager. Did Stephon Diggs ask for a trade? Did anything lead up to this? Was this sort of a compilation of things the last 2 years here? And now he's going at age 30 to try to help C.J. Stroud. I don't know if he's going to go in there and play for his salary that he was going to get with Buffalo, because people looked at the salary and said, well, he's a $25 million a year player. And you're getting him for $18 or $19 million. Then he's got another year as well. Like, did Buffalo need to trade him? Why did you trade him? These are things that I would love to ask the general manager there, because it feels like you took a step back. Here is the GM again, Brandon Bean, on that.
These moves are never easy, very hard, not made overnight, anything like that. But anytime you make a move like this, you're trying to win, and sometimes people may not see that. This is by no means the Bills giving up or trying to take a step back or anything like that.
I would like to know, okay, why isn't this a step back? Give me some confidence here. You're going to draft a wide receiver? Are you trading for a wide receiver? Brandon Ayuk, is he in the picture? Like, maybe he doesn't want to give you too many details, but if I'm sitting there as a reporter, I got a lot of questions here. And Stephon Diggs just said, hey, 4 great years in Buffalo. Thank you. I'm going to the Texans. But I don't know if there was any acrimony here. I don't know. It felt like there was something there. And, you know, these receivers sometimes don't realize that maybe you're not that go-to guy that you once were. That's another thing. You go to the Texans, he's going to want to show everybody, hey, Buffalo didn't use me correctly, or I'm still a go-to guy. I don't want C.J. Stroud to do what Baker Mayfield did with OBJ, and that is he kept playing to OBJ, and OBJ wasn't the best receiver on the Cleveland Browns. The Texans, they went out. They're going after it. I love it. It feels like they're going after it far more than Buffalo is. Buffalo lost a lot of defensive players as well, but when you have that rookie contract, you can go out and get this guy. And you're seeing this with younger quarterbacks. Teams are surrounding them with weapons. It happened with Tua, with Tyreek Hill. It happened with Jalen Hurts, with A.J. Brown. You know, Pete Carroll kind of invented this, it feels like, with Russell Wilson, that he was able to keep that defense intact, and you had Russ there, and they got to two Super Bowls. C.J. Stroud's cap hit is just under $9 million next season, so that allowed them to go get Joe Mixon, Danielle Hunter, and then they get Stephon Diggs. They're ready to go, and they won 10 games last year. That confidence level, they're not going to surprise anybody this year, and it almost feels like everybody's going to jump on the bandwagon, and I would caution, you know, when you bring people together like that, it can work or it can fail spectacularly. That you're trying to get that team on the same page, because last year you were underdogs, and, you know, we didn't know about C.J. Stroud. We quickly found out D'Amico Ryan's first head coaching job. I can't help but think about the Jets. The Jets looking at the Texans, because the Texans got the defensive coordinator from the 49ers, and they had the number two overall pick. Well, guess who did the same thing? The Jets. They took Robert Saleh. He was the defensive coordinator with the 49ers, and they had the second pick overall, and they took Zach Wilson. It didn't work out, obviously. But with the Texans, D'Amico Ryans has worked out, and so is C.J. Stroud. Isn't that strange how you can have the same scenario and it doesn't work out? And I don't know if Robert Saleh is going to stay. I don't know if he's going to last. Zach Wilson hasn't. But C.J. Stroud looks like he's a franchise quarterback, and you got D'Amico Ryans. So it's quick. It happens that quickly. But that's why what the Bears are doing with Caleb Williams, I think that's the smart thing to do. Don't send that quarterback out and go, hey, we're paying you. You're number one pick. Go out there and earn it. Because it's not working for Bryce Young in Carolina. And until they surround him, you know, we're not going to see if he can really play and be a franchise quarterback. Yes, Marvin.
If the Bills win 12 games, will it be easier for Josh Allen to win the MVP award because they don't have Stephon Diggs?
Sure. Sure. But, you know, with Buffalo, it's the same thing with the Ravens, with the Cowboys. Whatever you do during the regular season, it doesn't matter. We've seen that. I mean, it's like the Boston Celtics. Hey, first team to 60 wins. Okay, great. Who cares? What are you going to do in the playoffs? You going to win? You going to win a title? It's like the Joker. Oh, great. Another great season. Let's see what you do in the playoffs. He wins a title. We never ask that question again. Giannis. Oh, great. MVP. What are you going to do? When are you going to win? Win a title. Clayton Kershaw. Well, that's great. Let's see what you do in the playoffs. There's certain players. There's certain teams. And I think that's what we'll do with Buffalo. We'll do that with Baltimore and Lamar Jackson. We'll do that with the Cowboys. Hey, 12 wins. Great. What's it mean? Nothing. They've had home field advantage. They got blown out by the Packers. The Texans went toe-to-toe with the Ravens for the first half of that matchup in the postseason. You know, that's what we want to see. We want to see what do you do when you get to the postseason. We don't do that with Mahomes. We don't. How many wins did Kansas City have last year? Who cares? I think they had 11. Okay. We know what they do when they get to the postseason. And I think that's the important part of all of this. Make the playoffs. That's the key. But Buffalo, I got odds of who they're going to select. They don't have many draft picks here. I don't know how they're building, rebuilding. What position will Buffalo select with their first round pick? They have the 28th overall pick. Are they going to, can they move up and get one of these great receivers? I don't know what their trade, what they have to trade up to get one of the top three receivers. It's the wide receiver by far is who the Bills are going to take with their first-round pick, then defensive end, and then cornerback. Here's one for you. I went back and looked at the 2011 draft because the Falcons went up to take Julio Jones. The Falcons were 27th. They went up to 6. That cost them the 27th overall, a second-round pick, a fourth-round pick, a first-round pick the following year, and a fourth-round pick. So are you going to try to go up and get one of these, you know, three great wide receivers? And that's what it comes back to. You kind of had a really good wide receiver, and you traded him away, and you didn't get anything. What do you get, a second-round pick and a fifth round? It's not even a second round this year. It's a second round next year. I mean, if I'm Bills Mafia, I'd like to jump through a folding table right now is what I'd like to do. Yes, Pulling.
It would have made sense. If what if the Bills could have taken that pick they had, 29th or whatever, package it with Stephon Diggs and move up 20 spots, move up 15 spots. Why didn't they do that? They could have solved their problem this year. It's like they didn't help themselves at all. They've got a ton of draft picks in the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th round.
Yeah.
That's not going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't understand it. Maybe addition by subtraction here, but if I'm... And Josh Allen said that he was made aware that this could happen, but he didn't know, and I don't think he signed off on this. So, yes, he...
And it's like not having Stephon Diggs lined up outside hurts every other wide receiver now.
Yeah.
So that sort of domino effect is tricky.
Yeah, and I don't know if they just rely on their tight ends now. You know, they've got a couple of good tight ends, but... And Houston likes to throw the ball downfield. They were in top five, I think, passes 20 yards or more. They're gonna try to be that explosive team and be the best offense in football. All right, we'll talk to Sean Salisbury about that. I gave you my possible poll question first hour. Better team in Texas, Cowboys or Texans? You guys had poll questions as well. Do we have to wait till after the break to drop those on America here? Yes, Paulie?
Could you tweak your poll question to use the word threatening to win the title? Because better, you know, like it's almost the same question, but more likely to make the Super Bowl next year, the Cowboys and the Texans.
Yeah, we can do it.
It's in the same vein.
Okay. That may have been somebody else's poll question already. Dot, dot, dot.
Oh, was that yours?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, Bills Texans.
Because as soon as
Sorry. I had Bills Texans, not Cowboys Texans.
Oh,
I apologize.
Okay. No. Oh yeah.
I love pitting Texans Cowboys against each other.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. And you get clicks. You know, that's what everybody's doing nowadays. Work the Cowboys into this somehow.
Yeah.
And by the way, we'll hear from LeBron a little bit later on. We'll hear from LeBron talking about the women's tournament. And why it's better than the men's tournament or something like that. All right, just getting started. Phone calls, Operator Tyler standing by. And, of course, we have our Elite Eight that we're narrowing down. We'll have the final fork for you tomorrow. Take a break. We're back after this.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcast.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know if it's an accurate analogy or comparison, but is Patrick Mahomes sort of the Michael Jordan in what Jordan did to all these great players who didn't win titles? Patrick Ewing and Karl Malone, Charles Barkley, John Stockton. And Mahomes is doing that to these other quarterbacks, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. You know, throw out, you know, a few more quarterbacks there. But is this the Mahomes era, the way we had the Jordan era, and that you had all these great players who didn't win a championship because Jordan was in the way? By the way, Vince Carter and Chauncey Billups going into the Basketball Hall of Fame. We'll talk about that later. A little bit of a surprise with Chauncey Billups. I Hall of Good is what came up. And then people were actually questioning, wait, Vince Carter? I went, wait, you're not questioning Vince Carter. I could put Vince in for just contributions to the game. They did a documentary on Vince of what the impact of him being from Canada, playing in Canada, and what it meant for basketball. And look at all the great, there's a lot of players from Canada, and they've, you know, the contribution just because of Vince playing in Toronto. That's pretty amazing. But we'll look a little bit closer at Chauncey Billups, his career. I want to be fair to him. I was kind of surprised at that. Because I remember when he went to the Celtics and they had, two top 10 picks and Rick Pitino was there. That's when they thought they were getting Tim Duncan. And he didn't do well in Boston, then went to Detroit and did really well. And he was a big-game player, too. So I'll look at the numbers just to be fair to the situation there. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. All right, so Seton, did we go with more likely to go to the Super Bowl, the Cowboys or the Texans?
Over better team in the state of Texas.
Oh,
well, that was your suggestion, right? We would rather do more likely to go to the Super Bowl, the Texans or the Cowboys?
Yeah. I guess it's about the same thing, but the Texans got to go through Patrick Mahomes. Cowboys got to deal with the 49ers. Let's bring in Sean Salisbury, a popular talk show host, the Sean Salisbury Show on Sports Talk 790 in Houston, former NFL quarterback. Sean, good to have you on. Okay.
Thanks, Dan.
Better chance. Let me go with better team in Texas right now. Cowboys or Texans?
Oh, Texans are. Quarterbacks both good. C.J. Stroud's past Dak Prescott, I think, as far as the guts, the ability to challenge down the field. I think now with Stephon Diggs, depending if the talent's bigger than the headache, because we know what he's got, and that's going to be a test. But the bandwidth of their offense, Dan, and just having to defend pregame lining up in your practice week, they've got a better running back now with Joe Mixon because he's so good out of the backfield. Tank Dell will be healthy. Nico Collins is becoming a number one. And I like their defense better. The Texans have added all this talk, and people aren't talking about Danielle Hunter, who's one of the he's in the team picture for top pass rushers in this league, yeah. Dominant player. Yeah. The Texans are the better football team, and I also think they're a more confident football team with right now a coach that commands more than what they're doing in Dallas.
Help me understand why Buffalo did this.
Dan, I think they saw that the headache was bigger in Buffalo the last year and a half than the talent was. And when you got a guy who doesn't want to be there and a coach who seems to micromanage a little in McDermott, and he's been with a couple hard-ass coaches with Mike Zimmer and has Stephon Diggs, and now with McDermott, he's coming to a guy who's not a micromanager, but you know the rules in the building. I think Buffalo did this because they wanted to clear out a guy that they just didn't think was going to elevate them to the next level, and it's probably good for Stephon Diggs as well. Now Buffalo, where they went out and got Curtis Samuel in the offseason, their weapons now, they're going to have to elevate to another level. They've been sitting on the doorstep trying to get to the Super Bowl, so I'm interested to see how they're going to take care of their draft, but they need more weapons on offense now, and maybe they're thinking Josh Allen can overcome it. But when a headache becomes a migraine in one city for whatever reason, and it's happened in two cities, you're hoping it doesn't happen in three if you're a Texans fan. But this is an upgrade for the Texans to add to an already explosive offense with Joe Mixon here as well. But Buffalo did it because the headache became bigger than the talent in Buffalo.
Yeah, that's what I would be concerned about. You're getting a 30-year-old receiver who may not be a number one receiver anymore, and you have a young quarterback like we had with OBJ and Baker Mayfield, and Baker Mayfield wanted to make OBJ happy. And you change your offense, and that was to the detriment of the Cleveland Browns.
Dan, that is such a great point. And I was talking about this and thinking about this yesterday when this happened. Talking about this morning is, it's what happens is if you have a strong personality as a wide receiver. I played with Chris Carter. He was a strong personality, and he wanted the ball, and rightfully so. He's in the Hall of Fame, but he still had to fit in with the Jake Reeds, and we had Anthony Carter, and we had Herschel Walker, and we had Robert Smith. So, and with Warren Moon and Jim McMahon at quarterback, you had an opportunity to kind of respect that position and knew where you were, still found a way to get him the ball. But it's going to take incumbent upon C.J. Stroud and them not to fit into to Stephon Diggs. It's just Stephon Diggs to fit in with what they're doing. But it is easy to get to a point where you say, I got to get him involved. I don't want him to be a malcontent. And then it changes the way you go about being honest and reading the defense. And, Dan, I'm going to tell you, it's not now. It's not in training camp. It's not in OTAs or mini camp or in August. The real test is going to be when Nico Collins has 9 catches for 150 and 2 touchdowns. And in game 3, Stephon Diggs catches 2 balls for 28 yards and the Texans win. That's when you're going to find out where's the headache. Is it a migraine or is it just a little nag because it's hanging around and a Tylenol will fix it? This is a tremendous upgrade if, in fact, Stephon Diggs goes back to the way he was when he came into this league and had something to prove. And he does have something to prove. And I just think the bandwidth of this offense going into a game is huge. But there is still that if. And if you have too many ifs on a team, it becomes a problem. I think with Ryans and C.J. Stroud, and I think he's at a slippery slope in his career as Stephon Diggs to get to the level that he wants to be. But it can't just be about his numbers. It's got to be about what's really getting yours. And that's putting a ring on your finger in the process because Nico Collins and Tank Dell are both really good players. But trying to defend this offense now, I think it's one of the 3 or 4, or I might be cheating them out of a slot or two, most explosive offenses, at least on paper, if things work out in the league. Because remember, Dan, Mixon's as good as we have coming out of the backfield, like a McCaffrey catching the football in space. How are you going to defend them all if they're healthy and a little bit lucky with attitude?
Sean Salisbury, former NFL quarterback and host of the Sean Salisbury Show, Sports Talk 790 in Houston. We're a few weeks away from the draft. The quarterback that makes you nervous is who?
Well, I think the guy at the top of the draft, and Caleb Williams, and as an SC fan, doesn't make – Dan, if we didn't know anything about the guy and you and I were sitting around in a film room and plugged in tape and said, let's just watch him play. First thought is dynamic playmaker. I get the comparisons with Mahomes because of the ability to play off schedule and all those things. But the questions will exist and you know how locker rooms are, is he a guy that while everybody else is wearing, you know, a green pair of shoes, he's wearing a red pair? Is he a guy that if things aren't going his way, that it doesn't matter, he can find a way to win when he's not having that Caleb Williams performance? He is a dynamic, phenomenal football player. Locker rooms matter to me. They do. And when you're a guy that beats to a different drum, and he does, and guys are giving you a hard time, can you handle that locker room fun that we call it, or some would call it getting, because he is going to get it from veterans. He just is, you know, whether it's the painting the nails or wearing a clutch in a purse and doing all those things. But the truth is, if he's a playmaker, that will go by the wayside, and he is. But leadership, buy-in, and guys, that locker room, it doesn't matter what you and I think. It matters what those guys sit next to him. But if you can play, they don't care. But the locker room's a different place. So I am concerned about the leadership and buy-in overall if things aren't going well. He's not going to the Kansas City Chiefs. He's going to a team that's picking first for a reason. So I'm anxious to see how he responds to that. And so I do have questions. I don't have questions about him on the playing field. Hmm. So it's the periphery stuff. And some, I've talked to two coaches at SC about a year and a half ago that said they do buy in. They love the guy. And then you hear guys say, well, do you want that guy leading your team? Because he maybe beats to a little different drum, which is okay. But his performance on the field will dictate that. Otherwise, then you go down. I think Jaden Daniels is a hell of a player, quick release, and showed me that he pushes the ball down the field, because a year before last, he did not take many shots. Penix is a great pocket guy. J.J. McCarthy, too. Here's why people are going to question this one, Dan, trading up to get him. Think North Carolina basketball, when Michael Jordan, Antoine Jameson, and Vince Carter, they played averaging 17, 18 a game, but you knew the gem was there when they were able to get out from under maybe Dean Smith and expand. That's J.J. McCarthy. He's got great feet. He's a winner, which you crave, and it's in his DNA. He is an accurate passer, and he can throw the football. But he hasn't had a chance to expand because that's not what Jim does at Michigan. He's going to get the chance. You're trading up for him. I think that while there's going to be questions, I actually think that he, 5 years from now, could be one of the best we have in this draft because he wins and he gets it. But expanding his variety to stand back and throw it 40 times, he's going to have to be well coached at the next level. Leadership for Williams, more throwing for J.J. McCarthy. Those are probably the concerns for both guys that could have sensational careers.
Always great to catch up with you, get your insights. Thank you, Sean.
Appreciate you, Dan. Thank you, buddy.
Sean Salisbury, former quarterback, host of the Sean Salisbury Show, Sports Talk 790 in Houston. Yeah, I go back to that because young quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield did this with OBJ, big personality. OBJ wanted to prove everybody wrong. And it was to the detriment of the Cleveland Browns and Baker Mayfield that he kept looking for OBJ, and he wasn't the best wide receiver. Jarvis Landry was the better receiver there. Now you bring in Stephon Diggs to a second-year quarterback, and he's going to want to prove everybody wrong. That would be my concern. 30-year-old wide receiver. Is he still a number one receiver? So I got those are questions, and those might be good questions to have for the Texans. With Buffalo, the questions I have are like, okay, what is the identity as a quarterback that you're going to spend a lot of money, and your window's closing? Because once you get to that big number, now they're restructuring their deals. You know, most of these quarterbacks are, so you're able to, you know, re-sign some people. But this is the problem with Dallas. You know, CeeDee Lamb's going to want $25 million, maybe $30 million. Micah Parsons going to want $30 million. You're going to pay Dak. There's only so much money to go around. And that's where that window of opportunity, you have 4 or 5 years. And then after that, you hope that the quarterback will help you out a little bit, and then you're able to keep these players. I mean, this is what Mahomes is doing. Mahomes now, everything that he does from now on is in pursuit of Tom Brady. He's already a Hall of Famer. He's got everything. He's got money. Now it's, I'm going after Tom Brady. Now, he's still got some other quarterbacks, you know, with Terry Bradshaw and Joe Montana with, you know, 4 Super Bowls. But that's it. How do I get there? The only way I get there is if we get to keep these players. We get to re-sign some of these players. That's it. And that mentality, now he's on management side of, okay, I'm going to take less, defer this, I need to have, make sure we get this guy. Or, you know, I was talking to somebody yesterday with the league, and they said, you know, I wouldn't be surprised Kansas City went after a wide receiver, another wide receiver. Like, why not? Because they did bolster, they won because of their defense last year. We think of the Chiefs, and you think of Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. But, you know, Chris Jones and the defense, that's why they won. I mean, look at the biggest play of the Super Bowl where the Niners, and you have a wide open wide receiver, but they left Chris Jones unblocked, got in there, put pressure, and then they settled for a field goal. That's the difference. That's it. So those one play, two plays that decide your season, and a lot of times, most of the time, it's about defense. Did you get the stop, or you didn't get the stop? Yeah, Paulie.
After the show here yesterday, we're watching the NFL Network, and there's a replay of the Super Bowl with the Bengals and the Rams. And Matthew Stafford drives them down. They score. Bengals get the ball back with like a minute 30 left and two timeouts. They are cruising downfield. They had a second and two. They run the ball. Aaron Donald eats it up. Now, you know, it's fourth down and one. Aaron Donald gets through and gets basically the sack on him. Aaron Donald had two straight plays to walk off that game and get a ring. They were cruising downfield. The Bengals could have won it.
And the only guy I got to block is Aaron Donald. That's it. I got to make sure that I know Aaron Donald will not decide this game. That's all the Niners had to do. Make sure somebody's on Chris Jones. Yes, Eden.
Yeah, it really stands out to me the more you've said it for years, but there's almost always one guy that you're like, I'm not going to let that guy beat me.
Yeah.
Right? And he's Aaron Donald's certainly one of them.
Sure.
That's sort of speaks to greatness, right? When even when you're the guy and they game plan for you, you still find a way to win. That's a remarkable trait to have.
Andrew in Santa Monica. Hey, Andrew, what's on your mind today?
Dan, I got 20 years of grievance that you just triggered, okay? The reason why John Stockton never saw a ring wasn't because of Michael Jordan. It was because of Irvin Magic Johnson. Okay, their entire prime, Karl Malone and John Stockton, were getting bounced and dominated by Irvin Magic Johnson and all these other fantastic teams in the West and in the East because of Irvin Magic Johnson. You remember the Dallas Mavericks? Rolando Blackman, Derek Harper, Mark McGuire, Roy Tarpley, Detlef Schrempf, Sam Perkins, Sam Donaldson. This team never sniffed the finals because of Irvin Magic Johnson. And while we're on the subject, the greatest player of all time is not Michael Jordan. It is Irvin Magic Johnson. There is no logical case for Michael Jordan being the greatest player of all time. It took him 7 years to win a championship. It took Magic 8 months. Magic won his first championship without Kareem, his last championship without Kareem. He was in the finals his entire career. He won 5 rings. Yeah, Jordan won 6, but who did he beat? Magic Johnson was beating dynasties. Dr. J, Moses Malone, right? Mo Cheeks, these guys, the Celtics, right? With Larry Bird and McHale, the Bad Boys. I mean, there's no logical argument. It's a Nike hype machine myth that Jordan is the greatest of all time. When you really think about it, when you make a logical case, it's Irvin Magic Johnson.
All right. I'm glad that you got it out there, Andrew. Triggered something? Okay. Your opinion, you're in Los Angeles. I would be surprised if you didn't think that Magic or Kareem was the GOAT. Yeah, Seton.
Sometimes I do wonder, though, if we took away the Jordan brand sneakers and the shadow that casts and continues to cast,
okay,
would Michael Jordan still be by far and away the number one overall greatest basketball player of all time?
I think it factors in to the almost the myth.
Right. Like, it continues to make him larger than life. The fact that we could be like, you know, Derek Jeter wears the Jordan brand. That's how good he is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That brand continues to grow in popularity. It's such a monster of its own that I wonder how much it impacts his playing legacy.
Magic's name does not come up as in the conversation of greatest players of all time. It's Magic and Bird together. They're like one. If you had a top 10 list, I would put them together at whatever number you want to put them at. Kobe almost comes up more because he was similar to Michael. and he won titles as well. You know, Magic came in and he joined a really good team. Mike did not join a good team. Look at the Bulls teams. Not good. Yeah, Marv.
Yeah, Magic's rookie year, Kareem won the league MVP that season. I think he won game six without Kareem.
Yes.
He didn't win the entire NBA Finals without Kareem.
Yes.
He just had a monster game six. And I'm not taking anything away, but we talked about Moses Malone yesterday. Moses and Dr. J swept the Lakers up out of the paint in 83. Those Sixers,
yeah.
The Lakers, fully healthy, fully equipped. Moses Malone got them out of here.
Yeah.
That never happened to Mike, and I hate doing, but I'm sorry, Michael Jordan before the rings. And to Seton's point, I think Michael wouldn't have been iconic. He just would have been the greatest player. But I think the Jordan brand and the commercials make him iconic and mythical.
Yeah. But once again, go back and look at his rosters that he had. When he put on that show in the Boston Garden, he had to. He was going against one of the greatest teams of all time. Give me the ball. Let me take a break here, Paulie.
Here we go. Here we
yes.
go.
Yes, Andrew.
Yeah, here we go.
Shout out, Andrew.
Yeah, we're going to take a break. You've triggered me now.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. Play of the Day's up next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, my God.
The play, the play of the day.
Hunter looks ungodly.
I'm going to play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
Rogers set. The pitch swung on and drilled. Deep right field. There it is.
Dodgers. The first home run is a Los Angeles Dodger for Shohei Ohtani. And it's 5-3.
That's courtesy of AM 570, LA Sports, Dodgers Radio Network. Since the start of last season, Ohtani has 21 home runs of 430 feet or longer, six more than any other player. By the way, just the sound. I've said this before, there's certain guys, they hit a ball and it sounds different. It's like Tiger Woods at his peak on the range. There were golfers who didn't even have to watch Tiger. They could hear it, and they knew that that was Tiger hitting golf balls. Play of the day brought to you by TireRack.com, the official tire expert of the Dan Patrick Show. Go to TireRack.com/Dan. Try the tire decision guide. See the full lineup of Kumho tires, special offers, free road hazard protection, and more. Mobile tire installation. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. All right, so Ohtani's home run, and there was a woman in the right field bleachers. She ended up with the ball, and she gave it back to Ohtani, his first Dodger home run. She got a couple of baseballs, she got a bat, and she got a couple of Dodger hats. She got to meet him as well. Now, normally, you know, we try to, you got some leverage with these guys. How badly do you want it? And that's not a bad haul, but I would want the bat that he hit the home run with. I would take that, and I don't need anything else. Give me the bat that you hit the home run with. Now, guys don't want to give up their bats, but that's what I would want. Give me your bat, autograph the bat, and then autograph on there my first Dodger home run. That's what I would ask for. I'd want you to have the ball. I would want to have your bat, the one you hit the home run with. I don't think he's going to give that up, though. Todd, what would you ask for?
No, I love that idea. I think that that was not enough, a couple of hats. And I want either the ball or the bat signed. You know, I don't think he needs to have both of those. That's a big deal, and that's a high ticket item.
Well, you could get the ball signed, but it's not going to be the home run ball.
Well, that's what I want. I want the actual ball or the bat.
No, you already have the ball.
Yeah, but if I'm giving the ball away, I want either the bat or the ball from that play. Is that asking too much? I don't know, because that's going to be worth a lot, especially if he has an illustrious career.
No, you have the ball, you can keep it.
Yeah, but if you want to do the right thing and let him keep the ball, because that, you know, to let him have one of those two things is what I'm saying. Like, he's going to want the bat or the ball.
Okay,
is my point.
But the only way you meet him is if you're giving the ball back.
I'm less interested in meeting him and more interested in the item, either the bat or the ball signed. And he may not want to sign the ball unless he wants the ball back.
Okay.
He's not going to just sign.
You're not making any sense.
I'm not making any sense.
You have the ball. If you give it back, you don't get the ball.
I would be willing to give him the ball back, but I would want the bat then from the. That doesn't make sense?
Well, now that does.
Okay.
But
that's what I meant to say.
You wanted the ball.
I'm fine with giving away the ball. I want either the bat or the ball. If he wants the ball back, then I want the bat he hit the home run with. That's all.
Okay. All right. This wasn't a good idea, Paulie. Yeah.
I want the last 2 minutes of my life back.
I think the whole point is that they don't want to give up either of those things. They want the bat and the ball.
Sure.
So what can we give you in exchange to not have to release either of those two items, because those are important to us? Like, you also can't have his jersey. They'll give me his jersey then. No, they want to keep that too.
Okay.
They want to keep everything.
Yeah.
I think that's the point.
That you should keep the ball and sell it for who knows what down the road. That's all.
Okay. Yes, Paul.
I would probably keep the ball and sell it, but if I was going to trade it, I would actually tell the Dodgers, I want two seats to your next World Series game. Whenever that is, I want two free seats anywhere in the building to your next World Series.
Yeah, but I would hold on to the baseball and then cash that in, and then I could get seats to all of the World Series games.
For sure.
Yeah.
Good option.
But I would ask for more than a couple of hats and a couple of baseballs and a chance to meet him. Yeah, Seton?
I don't know. I think people go a little crazy in these scenarios.
The fan?
Yeah. But I think what they got was either you're going to do it because you want to give them the ball back and like, hey, thanks for the hats and we got to meet him. That was pretty cool picture. And then you have a great story for the rest of your life. People are kind of like, I want $250,000 cash in unmarked bills. And I would like season tickets. Plus, I also want a lifetime supply of baseballs and bats for myself. Like, people just go crazy with this stuff. You don't even know if this thing is actually going to be worth anything.
Yeah, that'll be worth something.
Yeah, but maybe not as much as I would like a small island in the Pacific.
First Dodger home run. Yeah.
It's like their lottery, though. Like, you know, I'm not, people are making ends meet. This guy's worth $1 billion. I got to do something.
They're at a Dodger game. Making ends meet.
We'll talk Michael Jordan coming up here next hour. 1 hour in the books, two more to go. Dan Patrick Show.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff.
Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.